Let's go into the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we said the word there now is the word that is in the Greek that can speak around, you know, moreover, right, or therefore. Right? A lot of times when we hear the concept of faith being taught over the years, we see the word there now and people make allusions to the fact that faith is a now thing. It's a present thing, right? But actually that word there, if you just look at the original word that is being used, you realize that it's not as much talking about a present conversation or talking about the present as its foundational meaning there. If we look through verse 37 of chapter 10, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. It says, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall what? Have no pleasure in him. Verse 38. Look at verse 39. But we are not of them who what? Who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the what? To the saving of our soul, of the soul. Now, what's the word there now? Moreover, or you can say therefore, right? So moreover, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. It is through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by what? The word of God. Look at that verse 3. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So the worlds were framed by the word. Right? The worlds were framed by the word. Today, we're looking at the topic for today is speak to it, not about it. Right? So I'm giving you a topic. Right? Speak to it, not about it. Speak to it, not about it. All right? Speak to it, not about it. We're going to focus on that today and probably into Wednesday. Now, if you look through what Hebrew says there, like I said, over time, that's an allusion, a very major allusion back to Genesis chapter 1. You can have a little touch as well in John chapter 1 as well and all of that. So, but it says that through faith, we understand that the worlds were what? Framed by the word of God. So God lays a template for us in the beginning to show how words frame the world. How words frame the world. What? Very important, right? He shows us how words frame the world, right? Look at Genesis again, chapter 1. Run to Genesis quickly. Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was without form and empty. It was formless and empty. And darkness was on the surface of the deep, and God's spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters, right? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, and God saw the light and saw that it was good. And God divided light from darkness. And God called the light day and darkness what? Night. Look at verse 6. And God said, let there be. Is that your Bible? Verse 6 says, God says, let there be. Right? If you look at verse 7, he says, verse 8, God called. Look at verse 9. God said. Look at verse 10. God called. Look at verse 11. God said. All together. Look at verse 14. God said, and there was. Look at verse 16. Right, verse 16. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule by the day and lesser to rule by night. Look at verse 20. God said, let the waters. Look at verse 21. God created, and he got to verse 22. God blessed them, right? And God said in verse 24. Are we together? Look at verse 26. God said again, Now we're together. Look at verse 20, 27. God created man in his own image. And look at 28. God blessed them. God said to them. God said, right? So what God was expecting to see in humanity or in the human world or the human race, he said it. Right? Look at verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you every herb. Right? God said. So look at the entire book of Genesis full of God saying, right? And that by default, like we said, is a template that human race can follow and copy and, you know, emulate, right? Because God, like we said, is the creator of the universe, is creator of the new creation as well, right? We must not get, you see, some of us in our theology, we've gone to a place to accept that the entire Bible is for, is Christocentric, it points to Christ and all the likes. That's not, you cannot dispute that. But the truth remains that it's not every single thing that points to Christ. Right, it's not every single thing, and that's why, unfortunately, people now have their ideology and take it into scriptures and begin to ensure that they use their preconceived notion to point everything back to Christ, to point everything back to Christ. But that's not the way a good student should be. The first slant of the good student must be proper interpretation, right? Proper interpretation, right? There must be proper interpretation of the word. So you must look through the word, look, and have proper interpretation. Then also, one thing we must also understand is the fact that the Bible also can be applied. There's the application of the Bible. There's the application of the scriptures. And if we look through application of the scriptures, we must understand that it must be on the backbone of the interpretation of the scriptures. What that means is we don't just go into the scriptures to just look for whatever we think or whatever we're looking for, and we jump at it and we just make it make sense to us, or we just make sense out of it, as it were, and apply it to our scenarios. Right, we would all be in different circumstances in our life. So it means that by default, we will be tempted to use the word of God to communicate something that the word is not saying. So there is proper Bible interpretation. There is the application, right? I heard someone say recently, he said there is now the imagination, right? So the imagination part in the real sense is where a lot of people, believers start from. You start from your imagination, right? Your imagination, you now apply your imagination, then you now start looking for interpretation. Right, so the word of God should be interpreted. So, like I said, when you look through Genesis chapter 1, right, you can talk about so many things happening there, but it must not take away the fact that God is the creator of the universe. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, look at Hebrews chapter 11 and go all the way to verse 3, where we were just now, Hebrews 11, and look at verse 3. See what he says. He says, Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, we understand that the universe has been framed by the word of God. Yeah, the universe has been framed by the word of God, right? The universe has been framed by the word of God. It now says, so that which is seen has not yet been made out of things which are visible or which do appear, as King James will say. Now, if we look through scriptures, we looked at this on Wednesday. So one of the fundamental things we see in the lives of, in the life and ministry of Jesus was the fact that he used his words a lot of times. Is that correct? Jesus used his words. He used his words. Jesus used his word. Look at Mark 6, quickly. Mark chapter 6. We looked at that on Wednesday. How many of you remember that? We looked at Mark 6 and looked at Mark 5. Is that correct? Look at Mark 6. We looked at Mark 6 and looked at if you look at verse 1, and he went out of thence and came unto his own country, his own city, his own town, and his disciples followed him as well. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence had this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that evil such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Look at verse 3. Is not this the what? The carpenter. So was Jesus the son of a carpenter? Was Jesus as well a carpenter? So Jesus was as well a son of a carpenter and a carpenter as well. Right? For people who try to argue that Jesus did not have an earthly profession, they addressed him as the carpenter. They now said he is the son of Mary. Altogether, if you want to assume that the phrase there, somebody can come and say, you know, the word there, son, goes actually, so it's supposed to be with arranged properly, the son of the carpenter. But the name that was mentioned there was Mary. Altogether, we don't have record of Mary being a carpenter. Altogether, so it says, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. So they were in offense Are we together? Right? Yeah. You see, offense is something that is in, that is influential. How do I say it very well? Is communicated. Right? Offense is something that can be communicated. What I mean by that is you can have one person in offense in the midst of several people. You know, offense, what it does is it leads other people into dishonor. Are we here?
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes, sir.
Offense can lead other people into dishonor. So I can be offended at someone and lead you into dishonor. You can be offended at someone and lead me into dishonor. Are we together? Right? So in this true sense, offense was in their midst that led to what? Dishonor. That's why you see the first thing that Jesus says there in verse 4 is what? A prophet is not without honor. What is the root of the dishonor? Offense. A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and in his own what? House. And he could do, now let's read verse 5 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And he could dare do no more, no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few folks. So for the Bible to use the word few folks, it means that he was a part of. I was having a conversation with someone yesterday, you know, and, you know, one of the allusions he was saying was that most pastors are fake. Right? And here is background story. And what he's arguing about is that particularly African pastors, you know, they always like to collect people's money and everything. And I said, okay, how many churches have you been to in your life? All right. He could not answer. Right? You've not been to more than 5 churches in your life, and you just assume that most churches are fake. When I started talking with him on that direction, the next thing he now said was, the Bible says that wide is the road that what leads to destruction? Many. Okay, I said many. So I now give an example. I said, if I say many of the people in this hall are women, does that mean that most of the people in the hall are women? You know, sometimes the problem we have is just English. Yeah? Many of you are women. Right? It does not automatically mean. Yet we have to also verify the fact that ideally most are women. So this is one of the situations where you can say many are women, most are women. To be fair, women everywhere. Right? We have 3 men in this midst. That'd be 4. Every other person's are women's. Right? So these are one of those situations where I can say many of you are women, ideally most of you are women. Right? So if the Bible says few, we laid hands on a few, it means that there was a part from. You cannot equate few to be, you know, people mistake most, people mistake always, people mistake some, people mistake few, people mistake many, people mistake often. You get what I'm trying to say? Yeah? So he says he was only able to lay hands on a few, but what happened to those few? And healed them. Then what did Jesus still do eventually? He marveled because of their what? Their unbelief. Now, so what did Jesus do there? He laid hands and they were sick. Right? If you go all the way to look at chapter 5. Let's go backwards like we did on Wednesday. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 35. While he yet spoke in chapter 5, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, what happened? He said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. So it means that when fear is present, belief is absent. Are we together? You see why I tell you, I can know if you're a man of faith. I see how you respond to situations. Once you are full of fear, you can't be full of fear and full of faith. That's not one of the situations where you say it's a collabo. It's not a collabo. No, you don't combine it together. If you are full of fear, we will know. If you are full of faith, we will know. So if you are someone who is always fearful, are we together? Right? We will know that you are not one who is full of faith. You know, more often than not, you have a lot of people who are very pessimistic. How many of you have friends who are very pessimistic? You have friends who are very pessimistic. Okay, all your friends are optimistic. Look, let me explain what pessimistic means. Pessimistic just really means that if I say tomorrow I want to go and apply for a job, yeah, a pessimistic person will say, why bother? You will not get it. An optimistic person will say, try and apply. Let's see what happens. Hopefully you get it. And that's the way a lot of people view their lives, and a lot of people view their, you know, their relationship or really their conversations and things they go through, right? A pessimistic person cannot be a person of faith. Please note that. So if you are always pessimistic and you've been told over time you're always pessimistic, what we are saying or what they are saying or what is being said, right, is the fact that you have allowed fear to grip your heart more. So you always expect the worst of every situation. A pessimistic person always expects and believes the worst of every situation, right? You can't be pessimistic and claim to be in faith, right? So the Bible says he marveled because of the unbelief in Mark 6. You now go to chapter 36 of chapter 5, verse 36. He says, be not afraid, only believe. So when Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe, he's trying to say that you ought to be optimistic about the scenario. So don't go, some of us go into scenarios and we're already defeated before we go into the scenarios. We're defeated in our minds, in our ideologies, in our expectations. Right? You have an issue with your friend. You already believe that that relationship is going to scatter, it's going to crash. Yeah, that's you being pessimistic. Right? Faith will always believe the best of every situation. Like I would always say, a believer ought to always believe. Are we together? Right? That's why you hear some, you know, I always say it consistently. I always say it to all of you. I say, I believe in you. Right? Yeah, so no matter how complex a situation might look, no matter how complex you think you've done or you've become, God believes in you. It's my expectation as God's child, God's servant over your life to also believe in God's mighty hand upon your life. Right? That's faith. Yeah, faith means I'm not seeing what I want, but I believe I can see what I want. Did you get that? Yeah, I'm not necessarily seeing what I want, but I believe I can see what I want. I'm trusting I can see what I want. Yeah, I'm trusting I can see what I want. So the Bible says in verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him except Peter and James and John. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and said the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. Look at verse 39. And when he was coming, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. What happened? They laughed him to scorn. Yeah? So the expression, think about it, right? There was a revelation that Abraham will have about a child he will have. And what happened? He will laugh. And what happened? Sarah will laugh. All together, right? You see, God is so interesting that eventually the name of the child now became what? Laughter. You see, that laugh you want to laugh. I will show you that you can laugh and laugh in a good way. Right? So that, why do you think she laughed? That's what's happening in Mark 5. It looks impossible. Right? So faith as a cap needs to be worn, particularly in impossible situations. Are we together? Faith as a cap needs to be worn, particularly in impossible situations. It looks like it does not exist. It looks like it's not possible. It looks like it's out of reach. But that's where faith can be operated in. That's where faith can be seen. That's how faith can be demonstrated. So they laughed at him. So there are sometimes people laugh at you. Are we together? What do you respond with? You respond to with a laugh and with also discretion. What did Jesus do? The Bible says that as they laughed at him, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, that's Peter, James, and John, and went into the house. How many of them? Jesus, Peter, James, John, father, mother, the dead body. So when Jesus walked into that room, what was he expecting to see? Seven bodies come out of the room, not six. He saw six go in. He asked six to go in. He went with six to bring out one. Are we together? That's faith. It looks impossible. It looks impossible. Now, those who were laughing outside, let me tell you, those who were laughing outside were expecting the same number of people who went in to come out. And I'm sure they would have positioned themselves behind one tree and just continued their laughter. Yeah, now, let's see. All right. Let's see. Right? But, you know, sometimes there are times where you have to ensure that there are people around you. And there are times where you have to ensure there are certain people that are not around you. Because if you don't want, Pastor Onaika said something recently. He said, if you don't want it in you, don't put it around you. You get that? If you don't want doubt in you, don't put doubters around you. That's the power of influence. And I always tell you, you must know the kind of friends you have to whom you know that when you have an issue, you can call them, they will agree with you in prayer. All together. They will just say, oh, let's pray about it. Right? So the Bible now says in verse 41, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is by interpreting the word talita kumin, that's in Aramaic, right? So he says, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. What happens in verse 42? 1, 2, 3, go. And straightway the damsel arose and walked. Let me tell you, dear saints, how will you know if that case will not come back to life if you don't talk? Some of us, because we are doubting that it will come back to life, so we don't talk. The question is, how are you certain it will not come back to life if you don't talk? So he says, Talita kumi, damsel, I say unto thee, come on. She came out. And what happened? He charged them straight away to go and give her food. Right? Yeah. When you raise the dead, learn that from scripture. Once you raise the dead, go and give them food. You don't know the journey they are coming from. You don't know who has been chasing them in the world you cannot see. Right? So same thing, Peter. Did you know Peter was in this room when this happened? Altogether. So do you know that eventually Peter did the same thing? Because what you allow around you to get into you. Yeah, I always tell you, when I see people who believe that they are strong enough to stay in the midst of negative influence and be all right, I just see people who are very foolish. Are we together? Yeah, it's just a sense of foolishness. Yeah, I'm not that strong to be in the midst of terrible influence and not be, I'm not that strong. So if you want lots of faith in you, what do you do? Put men of faith around you. If you want doubt to be in you, what do you do? Put doubters, put people who will always laugh at you. You see, let me tell you, it's good to have friends who always laugh. But let me tell you the kind of laugh, not the laugh of scorn, the laugh of faith. Are we together? Right? Yeah, where you just have some situations and you just talk about it, what happens? They just laugh about it. Why are you laughing? Because I know I've got the victory. Hallelujah. So Jesus does that in verse 55, chapter 5. We also looked at the previous verse when he casted out what? Demons that went into pigs. How many pigs? About 2,000 of them. Bible says they went headlong down into what? The pit. Are we together? Right? So I was saying on Wednesday that there are certain interactions and certain things that people do is not ordinary eyes. Are we here? There are certain things that people do is not ordinary what? Eyes. There are certain violent things that people express is not ordinary. There are some demonic oppressions, demonic dominance that can be seen in the lives of people. I give an example of a man who, you know, went to pick a knife in my dad's previous church. And what happened? A man that was cutting, you know, meat. And took it and started chasing people around. It's not normal. Altogether, that's not normal. Right? So what do you see that Jesus did in chapter 5 in those two scenarios? The Bible says, he said, look at verse... if you look at verse 8, Matthew 5:8, come out of the man, thou unclean what? Spirit. What is thy name? So Jesus spoke. So if you want a demon to come out of a man, what do? You speak. You don't imagine. I just imagine that this demon just leaves you. Are we together? Many of us as believers, we talk about our problems. We don't speak to our problems. We talk about our problems. We don't speak to our problems. You have all the dynamics, all the stories, all the different allusions you can have about your problem, different interpretations about your problem. But what about speaking to your problem? There's a difference between making a decree on a problem and having a discussion regarding a problem. If you see a certain pattern in your life, talk about it. Talk to it. Sometimes you need to talk about certain things for help of other people, but people of faith, particularly to be of help. But more importantly, is actually you talking to altogether, right? Don't be a commentator. Be a commander in chief. Amen? Don't be a commentator on your issues. Be a commander. There's a difference between commentating and commanding. Who's a commentator? Yeah, World Cup has started. Yeah, and it's with the ball, and he gives the ball. There is nothing he's saying that gives an instruction to the one with the ball. Because the one with the ball doesn't even hear what the commentator is saying. So you are in the room, a glass room, you have a microphone, you have every studio set up, you have a camera, you have everything, and it's the ball and it's running and it's flanking it and it's going by the flank, I mean, the flank, what do you call it? By the, what do you call the side? Flank. Right? And so, what a beautiful midfielder, what a beautiful midfielder. You see, the one who sits beside the touchline and says, pass the ball, is the coach, right? Some of us need to learn to be coaches over our lives. Are we together? Yeah? The one who speaks and they respond The one who stays behind the touchline and he says, you go and take that free kick. The one who sits in the glass room upstairs is just discussing about how the event, yeah, and somebody now passes the ball. The one who is in the glass room now says, and that's how he missed a goal like that in 1992. What's that? Information. So commentating gives you information. Are we together? Right? Commanding makes you make a decision to see something happen. Are we together? Right? So don't just be a commentator of report. Be one who is looking forward to seeing results. Yeah? The believer is not called to be a commentator of your circumstance. No, you're not called to be that. Always talking about your circumstances. Right? You are called to address your circumstances. I'll say it one more time. The believer is not called to be a commentator of their circumstances. The believer is called to address their circumstances. With what? With a sense of authority. The authority. The believer is not called to be a commentator of their circumstances. The believer is called to what? Address their circumstances with authority. Look at Mark 11. Mark 11, 22. Look at verse 20. Look at verse 14 of Mark 11. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee. Look at the word that Mark uses there. He says, Jesus answered and said. That means the only people we answer in these words are not just human beings. Are we together? Wait, who is Jesus answering? A tree. Are we together? Jesus is answering a tree. It means that we are not only created to answer tree, to answer human beings. We can answer situations. We can answer circumstances. We can answer words. We can answer imaginations. It says, Jesus answered. That means there are many things that are talking to you. Many things that are trying to raise their volume at you. Many things that are shouting at you. What is required from you? An answer. Look at what happens in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from where? The roots. Look at 21. And Peter called to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. What did Jesus do in verse 14? He answered. What did Peter say Jesus did? He cursed. Are you seeing that? Right? Look at verse 22. And Jesus what again? Are you in your Bibles? Jesus what? Jesus what? Answered. I say. So Jesus answered tree first, the answer human being. So he answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Yeah, some have thought that to be have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. So look at verse 23. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed. So who did Jesus answer? Tree. What did Jesus use as an example to explain is answering a tree, a mountain? So tree and mountain are alike. Once a tree is talking, a mountain is talking, what do you have to do? You have to speak. You don't comment about it, you speak to it. Right? So, the Bible says that if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall what? Have whatever he says. He shall have whatever he says. Look at verse 24 together, let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. So, when you pray for a situation, you believe for a situation, and the situation did not change as you expected. Look at me, everyone. You pray for a situation. The situation did not change as you expected. What happens? You look for another situation. And what should you remember when you look at the second situation? Whatsoever you believe, ye shall have it. Not, I once prayed, I didn't have it. Altogether. Yeah, like I said, don't allow your experiences to tipex out the writings of the word. Don't replace the pages of the scriptures with your experiences. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And ye shall have them. Right? So I go into every circumstance. I go into every day believing that whatsoever thing I ask and believe and desire, I can have it. Now we're together. I can have it. You see, as believers, sometimes we get ourselves into so many extremes. Some people can now start arguing, right? It's just like a clause that, you know, is trending in some part of the world where it says what God cannot do does not exist. You don't need to be analyzing that what God cannot do does not exist includes it. God cannot lie. You don't need to. You will find yourself in trouble when you need God to actually do something that man cannot do. Because your mind is trying to be logical. Is this God cannot lie? So if he says whatever thing you should believe, you don't need to begin to say, does that mean if I desire somebody else's wife? No. Just stay with the context of the word. And just in your heart, you know. You know, people that ask naughty questions, they know their questions are naughty. Altogether, you know. Yeah, something pricked you in your mind. If something was even saying to you, keep quiet. Something was saying, don't type it. Right? But there's something in you that is bigger than the something that is telling you, don't type it. Altogether, right? So the fact remains that I believe that what God cannot do does not exist. I don't need to put a context to it for the believer. Are we together? Yes, I believe that there is nothing. It does not exist. It can never exist. That's the power of faith. Look at John 11. John 11:38. Jesus therefore again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave, it was a cave, and the stone laid upon it. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead. Who is him that was dead? Who is him that was dead? Someone say Jesus. No, Lazarus. Right? And he said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for how many days? So think about it. You know? So was, you know, we believe that there's a level of death that God cannot bring back. Are we together? Right? Ideally, 3 days in the tomb is a lot. Lazarus spent more days in the tomb than Jesus. How many days was he dead for? 4 days. What did the sister of Lazarus say? He said it will be smelling. Is she right in her senses? She's right in her senses. Right? So he says, it will be smelling in there for 4 days. Look at verse 40. Jesus said unto her, what did Jesus say? No, verse 40. Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus, what? Lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast, what? Heard me. That's faith. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast what? Sent me. Let's read verse 43 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a what? Loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. All together. Lazarus, what? Come forth. Yeah? And he that was dead came what? Forth, bound hand and foot with what? Grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. What did Jesus now say unto him? Loose him and let him go. You know, some people, if they were in that situation and they saw white, somebody coming with white, they would say it's ghost. And they would start running. All right? But Jesus knew what he said and he knew what to expect. And when he saw them, he said, loose him. Yeah? If you look at their culture, they usually will wrap them. Right? And he says, loose them. Loose him. And let him go. Right? So Jesus stopped them. So what did Jesus say when you see a mountain? You speak to it. Is the death of Lazarus a mountain? What did Jesus do? He spoke. So did Jesus model what he preached? Yes. So Jesus modeled it. He addressed it. He dealt with it. So Jesus didn't go there and start talking about death. You know, the cardiovascular, you know, the heart has stopped breathing for a while, so the veins would have come out and the blood would have started smelling and stinking. No, he didn't discuss the death. He spoke to death. Right? He says, Lazarus, come forth. How will you know if Lazarus will come forth if you don't say Lazarus, come forth? We're together. How will you know? praise God forevermore. So if you look at Matthew 8, let's go look at Matthew again, and let's see Jesus as an example. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. So there is no situation you are going through that cannot be spoken to. What happens in Matthew chapter 8? Look at verse 23. And when they had entered into a ship, Jesus' disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But Jesus was what? Asleep. 25 together, 1, 2, 3, go. You're not there. 25 together, 1, 2, 3, go. And the disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're perishing. 26 says, and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Why are you fearful, O what? Ye of little faith. Then what happened? He arose and rebuked the winds and the seas, and there was a great calm. How will you know there will be a great calm? If you don't speak, if you don't rebuke the storm. Look at verse 27. But the men marveled. Why won't you marvel? Yeah, because you are all ye of what? Little faith. So see what Jesus says. Why are you fearful? He associates fearfulness with being of little faith. He now says, what manner of man is this? That even the winds. So we've seen wind obey Jesus. Is that correct? We've seen tree obey Jesus. Are we together? We've seen human beings dead obey Jesus. Are we together? And that same Jesus is on your inside. That same Jesus is on your inside. He lives on your inside. So what is that circumstance that cannot be addressed? Nothing. 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 Hallelujah. So Jesus was asleep on the boat. Is that correct? Jesus was asleep on the boat. Then they came to disturb him. So what did the believer, what were the disciples doing? You see, what disciples were doing in Matthew 8 is what many believers do in the midst of crisis. Right? You're either discussing it, you are commentating about it, you are reporting it, giving global news. You know, I said this on Wednesday. There are many situations on relationships. There are many issues on relationships. There are many relationships that are broken, right? Both friendship, both, marriage relationship, pastor, member, or pastor relationship. That many of them are, there are many that are broken because of the people that you discuss the issue with. That's what I always tell you. Don't make a permanent decision or a permanent statement on a temporary what? Emotions. Are we together? Are we together? Don't make a permanent decision, a permanent discussion on a temporary emotion. Are we together? You have an issue with your flatmates. What do? You go and report to another colleague of yours at work. That will now tell you, me, I don't take nonsense. That I don't take nonsense is what will keep ringing in your mind. In fact, when you go back home with the weapon of I don't take nonsense. Are we together? Right? And even when the person was at the door waiting to apologize to you, you remember, you don't take what? Nonsense. So what do you eventually do? Right? You now ensure because you've pledged your allegiance to the one that stamped you don't take nonsense in your heart. You want to prove to that person that of the truth, you too don't take nonsense. Altogether, there are many times that in your situations and relationships, the issue, what should be done is to speak to the challenge, not about it. There are also many times when you speak about it, where you need help, where your faith is drowning, you look for help. But you see, more often than not, you should have that culture and practice of speaking to. So Jesus was asleep. What did he do? He woke up and he addressed two key things. He first settles and affirms to them and says to them, you are of little faith. So what did Jesus expect them to do in the midst of the storm? To speak. Because the speaking to the storm is not limited to Jesus. If it was limited to Jesus, he will not give the example in Mark 11 when he says that if you have a mountain in front of you, he will not give that example. So he expects that they should also exhibit the things of faith. Right? So Jesus dealt with the atmosphere around him. Is that correct? He first tells them, why are you fearful? Are we together? Why are you fearful? Praise God forevermore. So, but one of the things you will see from the life of Jesus is the fact that when he gave those instructions to the sea, he must also remember he's a man of prayer. Do you know that there are situations where the first thing you want to do is not prayer, is speaking, on the backbone of the fact that you've always been a man of prayer? Now we're together. There are many men of prayer. There are many people today who are not given to the devotion and practice of prayer. You know, that's why Jesus can sleep on the boat. Look through the trajectory of his prayer life. Go together. You see, in this generation, it's very, very easy to put yourself in trouble. You know, and somebody says, oh, you don't need to pray before, you know, before you cast out demon. Yeah? You say, look at Acts chapter 4. Didn't you see in Acts chapter 4? Bible says they were going into the temple at the hour of prayer. So they've not even yet prayed. Okay? Then they saw a man at the gate called Beautiful. And they said, silver and gold I don't have. Rise up in the name of Jesus. Come up and walk. You see, you don't have to pray before you heal the sick. Do you not understand that the people were going to the temple in the hour of prayer? That was not their first hour of prayer. That was a consistent practice they had as a culture. Do you understand? Yeah? Now, whilst I believe, I agree, the reason what makes people healed and what makes things respond to us is not as much our prayer life, but there's something prayer does for you. Yeah? There's something prayer does for you. Prayer sharpens you. Prayer sharpens your faith. Are we together? Prayer works on you. Prayer builds you. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So when you see a man who is used to healing the sick, he just comes out, right? And he just, people just arrange all the sick people in front of him and he just goes and starts touching them. Don't joke with the prayer life he has behind the scene. Are we together? Yeah? For every public display manifestation you will see, more often than not, you will see there's an unseen prayer culture that's behind the scene. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right? So what you see in the words of Jesus was that there was a great calm having spoken to the sea. So two key lessons you learned from the storm story. The first lesson you learned there is that little faith does not produce speech that calms storm. Did you hear that? Little faith does not produce speech that calms storm. So with how they were of little faith in that boat that Jesus said, there is no how that the words they will produce will be words of faith. So if you get through a storm and it looks like the storm is overwhelming you, that problem did not start in the middle of the storm. It started before the middle of the storm. What is your practice and culture, right, to the world and to the prayer or the ministry of prayer before then? We also saw the second point there is Jesus was not discussing the storm. All together, he was what? Addressing the storm. All together. Praise God forevermore. Look at Acts chapter 9. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 38. And for as much as Lydia was near to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. What is the upper chamber conversation? Let's go back to verse 32. And it came to pass, as Peter passed through all the quarters, he came down and also the saints which dwelt in Lydia. And there he found a certain man named what? Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick with what? Of palsy. Peter said unto him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And what happened? He arose and immediately. And all that dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was a Joppa, a certain disciple named who? Tabitha, which by interpretation is called what? Dorcas, right? The other one was Talitha. Is that correct? This is Tabitha. Interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deed, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. Whom when they had washed her, they had laid her in the upper chamber. That means this one, they've confirmed that she was dead. Is that correct? And for as much as Lydia was near to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went to them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she what? Sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented what? Alive. So did Peter ask them to go out as well? Did he see Jesus do that? Yeah. He says, and it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So what will you see in this consistent conversation between Peter, Jesus? You always realize that they made sure they took charge of their environment before they took charge of the situation. You can say it in two different ways. They took charge of their environment whilst they took charge of the situation. Or they took charge of their environment before they took charge of the situation. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. They took charge of their environment. Don't forget, what you don't want inside of you, don't allow it around you. All together. What you don't want inside of you, don't what? Allow it around you. So one of the first things you do as a believer, and after it seems like this, is to audit your environment. Audit your friendships. Look at verse 15, chapter 15, verse 33. It says, be not what? Deceived. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Right? When you are dealing with situations, you first deal with your environment, or you ensure you are dealing with your environment as you are dealing with situations. So he says, be not, look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil what? Communication corrupts good manner. Many of us, our parents brought us up well. The reason why we got to certain parts of our lives and started behaving in certain ways was what? Evil communication. You know it's a cycle. Think about it. If you go to university and you get addicted to anything in university, more often than not, somebody introduced you to it. All together. Yeah? Your parents might have done their best. You know, I said this on Wednesday. I was saying this on our leaders' teaching on Friday. I said, you cannot always determine the outcome, right, of everybody. Yeah? So as a parent, the most important thing is try your best. But the truth is that the outcome of what you will see after trying your best is not determined by the best you claim you tried. There are many other factors. That's why one of the best things you can give your children as they grow up is a mindset and concept of ensuring they take charge of their environment. The words they hear, the things they see, the things they watch, the things they sing. All together. Who they expose themselves to. You know, and I understand. Let me tell you, one of the easiest things, you know, let me say this very well. A lot of times, people, in the quest of getting tired of the children they've brought into life, they're always happy to go and dump their children in people's houses. Yeah, I have to say it that way. Yeah? Do you know that many times, what you call experiences and stories that we all have as we grew up, many times was as a result of the negligence of our parents. Yeah? Many times. Not always. Many times. Right? So if you are somebody who you don't have enough time, you're already spending on your child, right? And at every slide, every glimpse of opportunity, you have one neighbor, right? You have one neighbor three flats away from you that you are always going to drop your children with, and you're not sure what is happening there. You just might be training your children with plus two. When you take them there, it's minus 200. Are we together? Yeah? Plus two, minus 200. It goes as well to even talk about the kind of children you allow into your home space. When they are not there, you train them. And you know, when you are training children, because of how busy life can get, it might be very gradual. It's step by step, step by step, step by step. Yeah? That building happens in drops of water, step by step, day after day. But you see, it takes one person's leg to kick the bucket. Your entire drop of water will fall. Are you with me? Yeah? To build character in a person is drop of water, drops of water, step, 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 top, top, top for 5 years. Somebody can mistakenly kick that bucket and all your 5 years' labor is on the floor. So one of the best things you teach them is, apart from just making it clear as to this is what, I always tell you, right? I'll say it again. There's a friend of mine who my dad warned me about. Have I mentioned his name before? No, so I won't mention it today again. I'll be skipping it. I know his name. I'm seeing his name. I'm seeing his post. My dad warned me about this guy in GS1. This was probably 2006 or 2007. Right? This is 2026. That guy has not finished undergraduate. Eh? The one he even stopped said, if I tell you the course he studied, that he did not finish, you will say, thank God for Pastor Amos. My dad knew that this boy can throw the water he has labored upon my life just in a, just by association, one term. One term. Right? Me, I'm going to do it too. If I see anybody who is going to spoil my work, straight away I'll tell you. But what I might do differently might be try to explain to my children why they should not. But we'll let a lie. God help them that they try not to listen to my explanation. Because you know you can try to explain and you are trying to just be, and maybe eventually they'll say, no, that's the one I want to make my best friend. I'm saying when I was growing in my trajectory of life in my GS class, right, it was that particular boy that would have been my best friend. In fact, when my dad still told me, we used to play football together. But anytime I play football, my eye is always at the gate. So we had a football field like this and the gate was there. So as I'm playing, I pass like this. I'm looking at this. I'm looking at the gate, right? Once I dribble, smile, I'm looking at the gate. Once I see my dad's bonnet just shoot inside the gate, I will just run in between the flower and run. Before you know it, you see me at his back. I'll clean his face. Daddy, good afternoon. How are you doing, Daddy? Yeah? But over time, I saw the impact of what he was going to. I can't even begin to say some of the impact that he... Gracious Father, let me say this. This guy I'm talking about, I'm saying this 20 years after. In GS1, he was having sex with one of our teachers. Let me tell you the unfortunate fact with camera, with the video, and he recorded it. In GS1. So think about where Joshua Yusuf would have been by now. Just think about it. Just imagine Joshua Yusuf. Just imagine where you would have been today. GS1, GS2. Right, evidences, see, and you know, it's one thing to be ridiculous with your student, it's another thing to be careless enough to have it recorded. That is one of the many things. This is the first time I'm saying this thing. My dad never knew till he passed. So my dad did not know that that's what was happening and warned me about him. What if he knew? I would have left Abuja. No, it's not that the school is still. I would have left the city. He would have taken me to go and enroll me in one secondary school in the city, Ijakpo. Right? Yeah, he did not know. I'm saying this for the first time publicly. He did not know. Go together. Right? What you don't want inside, don't allow what around you. Look at Proverbs. Let's close in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Sometimes when I was saying this story in the time past, you thought, what would this guy be doing in GS1? I just told you. GS1. Think about what you were in GS1. You see, sister, my Bible is very innocent. Okay, we believe. And we received. We are all innocent, even that guy. Proverbs. Let me tell you, that conversation, eh? Do you know something? There's a third friend of ours. He was from, let me not mention his nationality, but he was in Nigeria. Right? Two of them became close. Do you know that it got to a point where some of the things they were doing, they started competing with themselves, who we are to do themselves. I would have been the third musketeer. Three wise musketeers. I would have been the third one. Two of them were competing with the, oh my gracious father. So when I just think about it, I'm like, imagine where my life would have been. Just one. Listen to me, everyone. My dad has been a very intentional father from all my days I've known him. But imagine if he did all the work he did up until primary 6, just one. One boy would just carry the buckets of his labor and pour it away. You know, many times people get their part on that way in GS1 and they never recover for 20 years. 30 years after, they never recover. Some of them, when they recover partially, and those deeds are still in them. Are you in Proverbs?
Yes, sir.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. 1, 2, 3, go. Are you there? Proverbs 13, 20, 1, 2, 3, go. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a what? A companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed. Look at Proverbs 15, 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abided among what? The wise. He says, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof, he what? He getteth understanding. Look at verse chapter 15 of Proverbs, verse 5. It says, a fool despiseth his father's what? Instruction. But he that regardeth reproof is what? He's prudent. Look at 13, verse 1. A wise son heareth the father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not what? Rebuke. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the what? The heaviness of what? His mother. Let's close in Proverbs 22 today. Proverbs 22, 24. Are you listening today? You know, like when we're growing up, they'll say it's the mouth that your parents have to use, that they use to what? Talk. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 24. It says, let's read together, verse 24, 1, 2, 3, go. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare. What is that? Influence, environment. Many of us, the traits you saw in your parents, you don't want them in your life, but that's all you've seen. You need to work on yourself. Are we together? You know, the way you respond in anger, the person you saw do it was your father, was your mother. Let me tell you, when things angry you, I be anger you the way they used to anger them, you will do exactly what you saw. You might not like it, but that's what you will see. So that is why, as a believer, you cannot now afford to have friends. Let me tell you, you didn't grow up in a home or in a family where there is what you call love, or where there is what you call example or model relationship. Your five best friends, all of them too, did not grow up like that. All of you will start travel body group. Yes, you will study, you will start, you'll go to Rome today, right? Then go to Switzerland tomorrow. Yeah? Before you know it, it will make sense to you why your home should not exist. Are we together? Influence. But you see, even if you are that person, one of the things you are learning from this series is your words need to start shaping the world you need to see. Right? Yeah? If you didn't grow up seeing love in your home, say, I'm going to build a family of love. Say, I will build a family of love. Say, there will be love in my home. There will be forgiveness in my home. There will be honor in my home. There will be humility in my home. There will be submission in my home. There will be accountability in my home. There will be growth in my home. You see, you say it every day. Every day. Let me tell you, you can say it today, in the morning, in the afternoon, something upsets you. The moment it upsets you and you remember, just say it again. Yeah? Because if you are not careful, the things you are allowing without confronting, don't forget, the fig tree wasn't talking literally, but it was talking. There are many things that are talking in your life you are not confronting. Are we together? There are many things that are talking in your life you are not confronting. You say it. You say it. My child will not go through the ridiculous things I went through. You say it. You mean it. In fact, there's a way you say it that it will now make you mean it. Right? And when you now mean it, it will now make you act on it. My son will not go through what I went through. My daughter will not go through half of what I went. What is half? 0.5 of what I went through. My child will have the care of the Lord. My child will be well nurtured with a father and a mother. My child will be... See, this thing I'm talking about is very important. It's very important. My child will be nurtured in the way of the Lord. If you grow up in a home where your parents never used to go to church, you say it, my child will be planted in God's will. My child will serve Jesus. My child will do ministry. My child will be a model to their generation. My child will be given to the things of the Lord. My child will be given to the things of God. You need to say it and say it and say it again. You grow up in a home where all you went for church was all around Christmas period. Let me tell you for free. By default, you spend more of your life seeing that as normal. It takes a lot of intentionality to not make that as normal for your children. Right? So you say to yourself, I'm helped of the Lord. I'm helped of the Lord. Yeah? Don't use your words to be saying, no, I'm tired. I'm tired. I can't do it. You are saying you are tired because your parents said they were tired. You are saying you are tired because you probably saw your dad or your mom say they were tired. You're saying you are tired because, you know, you saw the examples around you saying they were tired and they acted tired. And they walked out of the homes. And they walked out of their relationships. And we're together. If you're not careful, you just repeat the same cycle. And if you don't decide to break it with your home, what will happen? Your children will reproduce the same thing, except they decide to break it with their home. One of the things my dad said to us when it was, you know, when it was alive or something, he said he wanted to take me out of the lineage of his family. What does that really mean? He wanted to separate us distinctively because he saw patterns that he did not want to repeat in his life. Let me tell you, there are things that are called generational patterns that repeat themselves. But you use God's word to confront it. The first thing you want to do is to acknowledge that it exists. Then you use God's word to confront it. Yeah? You see, you can pick one of the patterns you know. Take another 6 months, every day. Put a reminder on your phone. Say some words to those circumstances every day. If not, it will repeat itself. That's the way the life works. And don't forget, if you are not talking, they are talking. You are not talking to a situation. The situation is shouting at you. It is the loudest voice in your ear. Right? So my dad intentionally took us out of that pattern. I called my wife one day and I said to my wife, and I said, see, this is what my dad did. This is my daughter, my children, all that will come from you. This is what you must know. The closest, the neatest, the fundamental things. That does not mean we don't have cousins and relatives. But not that we say we are all together. No. I know what he did. They are still Muslims till today. They told my dad when he was leaving his house, leave him, he will go and come back. Okay? Leave him, he will go and come back. They said to him, he will get out frustrated and he will come back. Those are words speaking. But what happened? He took it in a place of prayer. He spoke. So there are certain things I will not do today because if I do it, I'm taking minus 20 plus 20 back to minus 2,000. Right? And I keep saying to myself, I keep talking to myself, right? The family we will build from now will be knitted. Are we together? The home we will build together from now will be knitted. I'm trying to link this back to some of the conversations we had last week. You know, we had many questions around marriages, right? And I'm trying to link it back for each and every one of you, right? See, if you have complexities, you have things that are really, you know, bothering your mind, take it out, write it down, talk to it for 6 months. It will listen to you. It will listen to you. But you are not talking and you're allowing to talk the most. Right? What will happen? Eventually, things, you know, like Job would say, the things I fear is the most. The things you fear the most. Yeah? That you fear it does not mean it's enough for it not to happen. Are we together? Yeah? You have a dream and something bad happens in the dream. You are scared. Your fear of what happens in the dream is not what stops it from happening. It's the words you speak. Are we together? It's the words you speak. So you build that culture and practice. Wake up every morning and say to yourself, my home is blessed. My home is blessed. My home is blessed. My home is blessed. We will live in peace and harmony for the next 10 years, for the next 20 years, for the next 50 years, till death puts us apart. We will live in peace. We will live in harmony, regardless of my own bringing, regardless of what I've seen, regardless of where I've come through. My home is going to be planted with the love of God, in the love of God. And when you start seeing those traits that are repeated in the lives of your parents, What do? You use words to counter it. You use words to counter it. You use words to counter it. Words of faith. Don't just speak about. Are we together? Yeah, you know the home I grew up in. You know, my dad had 17 wives. Out of 17 wives, all of them gave birth to 777 children. Okay, and so what? What light and light will be like Bauje. If you are not careful, you will do 34 wives. Polygamy has become normal in your eyes. You have to break it. How will you break it? With words. You start up a relationship in your first 1 year, first 2 years, you're already getting tired. What comes to your mind? Oh, this is what my dad went through. There's no one woman for me. Yeah? After all, Abraham had several. I've not realized people have scriptures they used to run to for those kind of things. Abraham had several, and God still called him a man of faith. Are we together? Right? You see, you must ensure. Let me tell you, no matter how much you want to polish it, if you grew up in a house with a man and a woman for the rest of your life, it is not the same experience you had if you grew up with another woman in the house. These are some of the things we don't like talking about in church, so that you don't hurt people. Okay. It is the reality. If you knew you grew up in a house where your father had 5 wives, had 7 wives, all of you were 12 children, when it's in Christmas, they are buying Ankara for each and every one of you. All of you are now dressed together and entering inside bus, space van. That's not normal. Take it as a conversation. Speak to it. Now, if they maybe they were beautiful people, they were lovely people. Maybe if they knew better, they would have done better. But this is not a case of they knew better. Now they've done. They've done is in the past. It is what is your eye seeing? What is your mind seeing? What is your heart seeing? I'm trying to pay attention to this intentionally so that you can tell. Yeah? Speak to challenges. Speak to issues. Speak to issues. Speak to challenges. Speak to challenges. Speak to issues. Yeah? Speak to it. Don't just speak about it. Yeah? Don't just speak about it. You grew up in a home where your brother was sent to go and live with one uncle in a different city. Your sister is sent to live with another uncle in another city. You yourself, you're sent to go and live with another sister in another country. Right? That's not normal. That's abnormal. Particularly if both parents are alive. Listen to me carefully. It's abnormal. You see, first thing you need to do to start getting yourself healed is the fact that you need to admit it is abnormal. Altogether. Yeah? No wonder you start seeing yourself gradually. If you're not careful, you just start seeing yourself gradually complaining about you have one child, you have 2 children. Yeah, think about what's influencing you getting tired. What do you mean by you're getting tired? Do people not take care of you when you're growing up? If your parents were not tired, will you be where you are today? Right? Yeah, every face you find yourself, every time you find yourself, there are many people in worse situations than you were. And they're still doing the will of God. And they're still trying to make it work. For the next few minutes, just bow your heads. I've spoken to many of you today. Think of those things that are complex to you and speak against it. 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 The things you are tired of seeing that you've been talking a lot about, speak against it. Speak against it. Yes. Yes. I know it's a time where nobody wants to increase their voice, and that's fine. But just speak against it. Speak against it. Speak against it. God's word has the final authority. God's word has the final words that can be said. God has the final thing that can be said. Just speak against it. Speak against it. I want to experience this. Yes. 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 No, I'm not going to live in the shadows of my parents. They are beautiful people. They are lovely people. They did the best they could. I won't live in the best of their world. I will live in the present reality of Christ Jesus. I'll stay firm, planted in my home. My home will flourish. My house will flourish. My children will flourish. My home will flourish. My children will flourish in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to give room to the devil. I'm not going to give room to the devil. No, I'm not going to give room to the devil. No, 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 no. I'm not going to give room to the devil. No, 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 no. I'm not. I will stay to my 40s, my 50s, my 60s, my 70s, my 80s, my 90s. I will stay and live in health with my children and my grandchildren all around me. Staying with me, staying in health, and my wife and my kids and my children, staying in health in the name of Jesus. Yes, yes, yes. I will not operate and walk in the shadow of the experiences I've been through. Yes, my experiences have happened. I could not change it. I could not do anything. But the fact remains that I believe so much in God's power. I believe so much in God's restorative power. I believe so much in the ability of God's word. I believe so much in the ability of God's love. I believe so much in the ability of God's power. I believe that things stop with my life, in my lineage, for my life. Yes, things will stop. Patterns will stop. Yes, you grew up in homes, for instance, where it looks like your parents' parents, they did not stay together. Your parents' parents did not stay together, right? If you're not careful, that's all you know as a template. But you can use God's word to challenge those situations. You can use God's word to challenge it. There is nothing that's beyond the power of God's word. There's nothing that's beyond the power of God's word. There is nothing that's beyond the power of God's spirit. Nothing, nothing, nothing. I will not repeat templates. In the name of Jesus, I will not repeat templates, evil templates. I will repeat them. Negative templates, they end with my family. They end with my lineage. They end from my family upwards. Everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. It might look like a mountain. It might look like a fig tree. It might look like a wind. It might look like a storm. But either which way, is God's word that is needed. It's God's power that is needed. My heart is healed in God's love. My heart is restored in God's love. There's a reset 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 in God's love. In the name of Jesus. There's a reset. There's a reset. There's a reset. There's a reset. I'm patient because I'm a believer. I'm patient because I'm a believer. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my heart. I have the fruit of the Spirit in my heart. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm gentle. I'm understanding. I'm easily entreatable. I'm easily entreatable. I'm easily entreatable. I'm easily entreatable. I'm easily persuaded in the name of Jesus. I'm easily persuaded in the name of Jesus. I'm easily persuaded in the name of Jesus. The word of God walks in my life. The word of God walks in my family. The word of God walks in my life. The word of God walks in my family. My children will grow in a stable home. My children will grow in the love of God. My children will grow in a stable home. My children will grow in a stable house. My children will grow in a stable home. In the name of Jesus, my children will grow in a stable home, and they will go into stable homes, and they will build much more stable homes, and will stay in stable homes. My sister will stay in a stable home. She will live in a stable home. My brother will stay in a stable home. He will live in a stable home in the name of Jesus. Our hearts are open to receive the persuasions of God's Spirit. Our hearts are open to receive the persuasions of God's power. Our hearts are open to receive the persuasion of God's word. I can do what the word says. The word says I'm patient. I'm patient. The word says I'm easily entreatable. I'm easily entreatable. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm gentle. I'm gentle, I'm patient, I'm kind. Yes, my parents did their best. Yes, my parents did their best. My parents did their best. But the fact remains that there are templates I want to stop with my lineage, with my home, with my family. From the Joshua Yusuf's generation forward. Yes, 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 yes. I build godly patterns that my children will build upon. I build godly patterns that my daughter will build upon. I build godly patterns for my lineage, for my generation, for my home. My home is full with the atmosphere of love. My home is full with the atmosphere of patience. My home is full with the atmosphere of love, patience, and kindness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You see, don't just allow what you've done to end here. Don't allow what you've done to end here. One of the problems we have as a church, or as I know in the local church and the church space, as it were, from my observation, is many times we don't want to say certain things the way they are. Yeah, for the fear of how people would take them. But one thing I've realized is we have to say things the way they are, fully being aware that we can say something that is bigger than those things that seem to be facts. Right? It can be a fact, but there's something bigger. Right? So we flog more on the things that are bigger. But the facts are the facts. The facts are the facts. The facts are the facts. The examples that we see while we grow up, they are the things that have framed the world we are beginning to live in. And if we're not careful, we'll just reproduce the exact same thing. The exact same thing. But I believe so much in the power of the word. I believe so much in the power of God's spirit. I believe so much that words can undo. Think about it this way, right? You know, if you have like a wind, you know, something like a wind, maybe you can even use a thread. If you're tying a thread around a pole, right? Yeah, think about your experiences in life as a thread going around the pole. You are 10, you are 15, you are 20, you are 30, you are 35, you are 40, whatever age you are in, right? And it's at a point, maybe when you are 35 or 40, you are realizing that you have to start unwinding. Don't unwind once, because your unwinding once cannot change what you've been winding over the years. You have to unwind and unwind and unwind and unwind and unwind and unwind and get a posture of humility to receive God's love. Expose yourself more to God's love. Expose yourself more to God's spirit. There is nothing that is beyond God's power. No mountain, no fig tree, no storm is beyond God's power. I'm giving some of you assignments today right now. Yeah, for the next 3 months, 6 months, every single day, go and write those challenges, those things that are complex to you. Write it down. Every morning, set an alarm on your phone and remind yourself to say positive things about yourself, your home. Positive things about yourself, your home. Positive things about yourself, your home. Things you want to see in the life of your children. Yeah? Things you want to see in the life of your son. Things you want to see in the life of your daughter. Write it and say it. Right? And if you are one as well, who you've got yourself in a place of using careless words in the life of your children, go and undo it. Write it down. Don't call your children big head. Don't call your children stubborn head. Don't call your children stupid. Don't insult your children. Don't insult them. Scold them without insulting them. You can scold without insulting. Yeah? Those things, go back and unwind it. And unwind it. Say, I trust in the power of God's word. Say, I trust in the power of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have you been blessed today?